It's time for Making It Personal, a personalized SC podcast brought to you by the South Carolina Department of Education's Personalized Learning Team. Let's jump into today's episode. Everyone, it's Carrie Beach, host of the Making It Personal podcast, and I want to welcome you to a special holiday edition of our podcast. In today's episode, the Personalized Learning Team will be gifting you with the gifts of student-centered learning. Each of our team members has picked out a special strategy, resource, video, or support that has meant a lot to them in their journey with student-centered learning, and we want to share those gifts with you. So I want you to sit back, relax, and receive the gifts as they come to you from our personalized learning team. You can also find these gifts linked in the description at the end of the episode. Enjoy!
Hi, I'm Sarah Gams. I'm the Student Learning and Development Program Manager at the South Carolina Department of Education. And the gift I'd like to give to you this holiday season is the gift of one of my favorite YouTube short videos. It's by John Spencer, who's just a fabulous thinker on creativity and innovation and what that looks like in our classrooms. And it's his recently published video. He published it in September, but it's called The Snailed It Mindset. And when I watched this for the first time, it just gave me such a feeling of peace and joy and wonder about the artistry of our jobs as educators, about the way that we think about our students all the time and we iterate and create for them so that they can be themselves creators and innovators, and that it's okay if this process takes a little time. It's okay to go slow. It's okay to have the fits and the starts and the spurts and the lulls that happen when we're truly working at creating something meaningful and wonderful and doing joyful work. So I hope you take some time in the next couple of weeks to watch John Spencer's short video on the Snailed It Mindset, just to remind yourself that this is also a time of rest and relaxation. Let those creative juices flow, and then we will get back to the work of personalizing education for our students and for ourselves as professionals.
Hey, this is Kristen Logan. I am a personalized learning coach with the Personalized Learning Team at the South Carolina Department of Education, and I have a gift that I want to share with you all today. This gift can be used as a set or used separately. The first gift I'm giving may have several names, but I'm going to call it a mailbox system. As I take off this wrapping paper, you'll see that there are crates with filing folders sitting on a back counter in a classroom. Each file folder has a student's name on it. If I only have one class, then I may only need one crate, or I can separate the crates by table groups or alphabetical order. If I have more than one class, then I could have one crate per class. I'm giving this gift because it will help you create a student-centered feedback system for you and your students, where students have agency in the timing of their feedback. Each day when students arrive to your class, they are responsible for checking their mailbox to see if any feedback, graded or ungraded papers, has been returned to them. Based on what is returned, students will decide what action steps they need to take on that learning, in addition to focusing on any new learning that they may have for that day. As students demonstrate mastery on their given tasks, each student can place their evidence, such as assignments, writing samples, math problems, etc., back into their folder at any point during class. Then at the end of the day or in class, at any time when the teacher is not working one-on-one with a group of students, the teacher can check the student work in the student folders to see what feedback is needed. The additional bonus of this gift is that it can also allow you to begin introducing learning pathways to your students by putting new tasks into their folders that they can work on during work time in class. Since different students may be working at different paces or on different skills, not all students will need something new every day, and they may not need the same learning activity to engage in. If you're more of a digital person, you can always exchange this gift and create the same type of system in a digital form on Google Classroom, Schoology, or any of the other platforms. The second gift in this set that I'm giving is a conference request system. As I take off this wrapping paper, you will see a place in your classroom where students can sign up for their very own conference with you to discuss their progress or ask for support when they're ready. If you have space on your whiteboard, this conference signup could be a chart you create on the board where students can list their name or place their own name magnets when they are ready to conference. If your board space is limited, this conference signup could be on a clipboard located in your room where students have access, maybe near your mailbox system. If you have multiple classes, this conference signup could look like multiple metal cookie sheets. And I know that sounds strange, but each student could have the job of changing out their conference sheets as they come into the classroom. Students could place their name magnets on the cookie sheet when they're ready to conference. I'm giving this gift because it will give your students more agency over when they are ready to conference. This gift also is helpful because students will no longer have to wait at their desk with their hands raised while you're working with another student. You may be thinking, well, what's wrong with that? Well, if a student is sitting and waiting for the teacher with their hand raised, they may not be learning. This gift allows them to let you know through a visual cue that they're ready for a conference or need support, but then they can move on to another part of their learning task while they wait. One way this gift can be used is when a student turns in a piece of evidence to their mailbox, they could sign up for a conference with you to let you know that they are ready when you're ready. This gift does not mean you cannot require your own students to sign up for conferences. It just gives students the chance to advocate for themselves about what they need and when they need it.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sarah Bowie from the Personalized Learning Team, and I am the regional coach for the Upstate of South Carolina. And the gift I'm giving is self-assessment, student self-assessing based on their classroom vision, which we call in a lot of classrooms, a code of cooperation. And so I'm giving this gift because I feel like it's a great way to make classroom management something that is still student-centered, because that is definitely one area where it can be really challenging to find a way to make what we consider discipline and classroom management something that still really focuses on the student and isn't as teacher driven. And so the link that I'm going to include is a link to a Pinterest board that has a variety of these codes of cooperation self-assessments. And you'll see all the way from 5-year-olds who have a 1, 2, 3, 4 rubric, and the rubric is pictures of them showing how they can meet their class code of cooperation, all the way up to high schoolers who, you know, they might not need pictures, but they have very clear descriptors of what being responsible looks like at a level 1 and what it looks like at a level 4. So if you are interested in looking at classroom management strategies that keep the student at the center, as personalized learning loves to do, then check out that gift.
Hey, y'all, it's Lindsay Yerda with the Personalized Learning Team. I'm really excited to be able to chat with you guys today. As the team's research and impact gal, I am giving the gift of the Measuring PCBL Toolkit. As Hattie says, we need to know our impact. We can't just rely on feeling. We have to look for that evidence. And the Measuring PCBL Toolkit allows educators, coaches, and administrators to actually measure the impact of personalized competency-based learning practices on student outcomes in a really robust, all-inclusive way. The toolkit contains information on instructional practices inputs, on potential outcomes. It has links to supporting research and survey and observation instruments to really help educators collect useful data. And then they can in turn make those data-driven decisions to better impact student learning outcomes. Because at the end of the day, it's all about doing the best that we can for our students. So let's walk through an example. Let's say as a teacher or as a school or even a district, you decide to focus on the instructional practice input of feedback and conferencing for the academic year. Now, we know that this connects to the SCTS 4.0 rubric. And actually, the personalized learning team has a crosswalk that might be helpful if you are choosing this route and want to be able to measure SLOs tied to this particular focus. And we'll share that link in the podcast resources. So you're focusing on the instructional practice input of feedback and conferencing.
and your educators have access to really high quality professional development around feedback and conferencing, because we know that that's important. We don't want to forget that piece. We have to have access to that high quality PD. And then as our teachers learn and grow in their skills, they can turn once again to the Measuring PCBL Toolkit to track their progress. The toolkit has feedback and conferencing look fors that can really help us focus and zone in. Again, it's just such a fantastic and specific way to track our progress as educators. We're always trying to learn and grow. Finally, we can track the learner outcome that we would expect to see growth in. For example, we can use the Measuring PCBL Toolkit to track the learner outcome of support. As educators improve in their feedback and conferencing, we would expect to see an improvement in support. Like, my teacher cares about my success and can provide the support I need to help me reach the learning goal. The Measuring PCBL Toolkit also has links to supporting research. And since we're talking about the connection of improving in conferencing and feedback leading to the enhanced learner outcome of support, I'm going to stick with that example. Why does it matter if students feel supported in the classroom? Well, we know that relationships matter. When students feel supported, engagement and achievement soars, and the PCBL Toolkit has researched that effect. There is a quote in the Mind Frames for Visible Learning text by Hattie and Zier that I really would like to share. It's a good one. It says, there are many forms of impact, such as a sense of belonging as a learner, the will and thrill of learning, respect for self and respect for others, higher achievement and attitudes, positive disposition and social sensitivity. There are many ways to make this impact visible. Artifacts of student work, observation of students' learning, tests and assignments, listening to interaction among students, and privileging student voice about their learning. The Measuring PCBL Toolkit helps us to prioritize that privileging of student voice. Using the toolkit allows us as educators to walk away from assuming we know what our students are thinking by actually helping them make their thinking visible. And we can do that through the survey tools included in the Measuring PCBL Toolkit.
Hi, my name is Heather Bross, and I am also one of the personalized learning coaches with the personalized learning team. And the gift that I am giving is a brainstorming tool around universal design for learning. And this could be a tool that you could use for team lesson planning. This could be something that a coach could help lead you through. This could be something that a teacher could use individually, or teachers could use as teams to guide them through as well. This is something that we came across in helping and supporting a coach who was looking for some good questions. She wanted to find something that would help her teachers as they were trying to figure out, how do I support student-centered lesson planning? The first thing that, if we're going to start from the beginning, which normally we're going to pull a standard, right? So we pull the standard, figure out what the learning target is, and then it takes you into assessments and some really good questions. What will success look like? How will we offer multiple means for students to demonstrate their success? So in other words, how can they show us what they know? And this could look differently for different kids. And then how do we have options for both formative and summative assessments? And this was something this coach in particular really wanted to focus on, because many of the times we're focusing on those summatives where we only see what's happening at the end of learning versus, well, how do we assess as the kids are learning? Then we go into the section where we're talking about barriers, which really is digging into the universal design for learning, when we're looking at what might be some barriers that our kids might come across. Could be the location, could be even some grouping, could be noise level, could be presentation. This could be even for our multilingual students. Where might we have barriers that we can proactively alleviate? Then we get into engagement. How do we offer access for our students to engage in the learning. So questions we might ask, do we have relevancy? Are we minimizing distractions when we're asking our kids to engage in the learning? Is there self-reflection? How are we offering feedback, collaboration? Then we move into the section around representation. So do we have audio, visual display? How are we accessing language, math, symbols, all those types of things? And then we can move into the action and expression, which again is kind of moving back into, you know, how are our students offering different ways in which they express their learning and what, you know, how they're goal setting, how they're moving through strategy development, how are they self-monitoring? So this just has different ways and different questions where, like I said, coaches or teachers, as they're moving through this, they can reflect themselves, but looking at how do we embed universal design for learning into our thinking as we are planning our learning experiences for our kids. And then after the lesson, this is really good for our teachers to remember, reflect. How did the lesson go for you? What barriers did you encounter as an educator? What might you try differently next time? What might you keep the same? I also added in there too, asking your students the same thing. Give them a reflection after they've moved through a lesson or a unit such as this. Have them analyze their growth over time as well and allow them that reflection time.
Hi, I'm Nadine Groh. I'm a personalized learning coach with the personalized learning team at the Department of Education. The gift that I am giving today is an analyzing student work tool. This tool helped me begin to start personalizing learning for students when I didn't even know personalizing learning was a thing. And it just really helped me start to analyze student work in a different way. This is just a process. It's really not about the template, but the template can be helpful. So in the tool, we've got a table, and at the top, there's an area for you to group students based on the skill. Then there's a row that says, what learning did students demonstrate? And so for each of those groups, you're going to be looking at that group of student work, and you're looking for what learning they already have, right? What assets do they bring to the table? The next row after that says, what learning do students still need? And then finally, the last and final row says, next steps for instruction with universal design for learning in mind. And from there, I typically first, honestly, before I even group students, I'm looking at their work and seeing like, what do they have, right? So I might group them, but I might learn that even though like this student got 2 out of 5 correct, this student got 4 out of 5 correct, but they actually have the same learning need. So it's less about the score and it's more about what learning students already have and what learning do the students need. And so I really think that that was one of my first realizations about looking at student work differently and grades and thinking about what do scores mean to students and sometimes what do scores even mean to us as teachers if we're not really looking at student learning. So I think it's a really neat tool to help you kind of dig into that. You can use that with formative assessments again, but we always want you thinking of how can we invite students into this process then? How do we help students see how am I sharing this with my students now, right? So it's one thing for me to have this tool all filled out and I know exactly what my students' goals are. And it's another thing for me to sit with my students and have a conversation about where they are. And hey, look at this. You have all of these pieces, but this is the one piece that you're missing. So during your independent work time, these are some activities I'm thinking you could do. What other ideas do you have? Are there ones that interest you more? You'd like to do a podcast to show me and practice it. You'd like to do a video. So it's a neat way to get student voice in some ideas that they might even have to kind of show their learning. For instance, if it's time, you could very well have a student teach another student time in a video or teach just within the video the specific goal that they're working on. So if they're working on the nearest 5 minutes, those would be the examples that they would showcase. The thing I like about the tool is it really helps you look at their assets first. We know students come with something, and whether you're using this analyzing student work tool with a formative or a pre-assessment, or maybe even after a summative, because you want to make sure that all students master it, I think it really helps us to look first at what students already know and what are they able to do that I can build off of. So you'll see that that part is the first piece of it, is just looking at their work and what do they demonstrate. I'm not going to be looking at the answers that they got wrong. I'm going to be looking at what learning did they show me, even if they did get it wrong. Like, what steps, what pieces do they have to bring to the table that I can build off of? And then from there, now I'm able to specifically diagnose and really analyze what the next step is that they need for instruction. And I can start grouping kids with like goals.
Hi everyone, it's Carrie Beach again, and I want to leave you with our last gift of today's episode. The gift that I want to share with you all is the gift of vision setting with your students. When I first began my personalized learning journey, I didn't know where to start, but a wise person told me that the best place to start would be having my class set their own vision for the year. We were in the middle of the school year, and so this seemed like a daunting task, but I'm happy to say that it really made a huge difference in my classroom structure, and it also made a difference in the motivation that my students possessed. Leading my students through a protocol that allowed them to question and examine, why are we in school? What do we need in order for our class to be successful? These are questions that my students were able to grapple with and use to draft our very own class vision. I think the key thing that made this such an impactful part of our new student-centered classroom at the time was the fact that they had a hand in the creation of this vision. Not only did they have a hand in creating it, but we also put it in a place in our classroom where it could frequently be referenced as a means of keeping us all on track and keeping us centered on what the main thing was. What was our reason for being in school? What was our reason for learning? And I know a lot of teachers question, you know, what are things that I can do to help my students be motivated? What are things that I can do to help my students have more buy-in in this learning experience? And I would venture to say that one of the best gifts that you can give your students is having them set their own vision, their own course for the year, so that as they're going through the day-to-day in and outs of school, that they remember why they are there and what their focus and end goal is for the learning that's happening in your classroom context. So I hope that you'll try this out moving into the next school year. We want to thank you so much for joining us and for sticking around to the end of today's episode. And we want to wish you a restful and joyous holiday season. We'll catch you in 2024, and we'll be right back to close things out. Thanks again for tuning in to today's episode of Making It Personal. Connect with the Personalized Learning team by visiting our website, personalizedsc.ed.sc.gov. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share with a friend, and tune in for a new episode every month. We'll catch you next time on Making It Personal. See ya!